Hello. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Connie Moore, Senior Vice President of Research at Digital Clarity Group. You're listening to podcasts by Digital Clarity Group. And today we have a really special guest. It's Scott Lewer. He's the President and Principal Analyst at DCG. Scott, it's great to have you on the show.
It's great to be on, Connie. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, Scott, several days ago, there was a flurry of announcements about Epicerver and Ectron being acquired by Sail KKR, which is a private equity firm. It caused more than a few hiccups because the announcements were confusing and even contradictory. Now the dust is settled. Can you clarify for our listeners exactly what happened? What happened at Ectron, for example?
Yeah, sure thing. It was confusing, and I think, you know, it wasn't the greatest PR job in the world, really. When the dust all settled, essentially, Sail KKR did take the majority position, essentially buying out 100% of the Ectron stock back from previous ownership. This was their second investment in the company. They had back earlier in the year had invested about $8 million in them, and they then essentially ended up acquiring the company for what's approximately in the $50 million range. And ultimately, you know, I think this was a good sign for Ectron and for Ectron customers. I mean, this is not kind of a new private equity firm coming in. Again, they knew them. They knew the management. Ectron had already gone over, as you see in most of these cases where private equity comes in and makes an investment, Sail KKR's model is to come in and be a majority owner and to grow the business. And they do that by implementing efficiencies and new management and that sort of stuff. But they had already done many of those things with the earlier investment. So the board had already changed over. Senior management had already has a new face since the earlier investment. And so many of those kind of hiccups had already taken place. And because Ectron showed really strong growth and had some pretty good, I think they beat their Q3 by about 70% or so. Because of that, Sail KKR decided to accelerate their position in the company and acquire them.
So sometimes things just happen because they happen. What would you say happened to get them to acquire Epicerver?
Sure. On the Epicerver side, Epicerver is a fairly popular also web content management plus. They have commerce and web content management and some of the other kind of tangential capabilities around that space. They're popular primarily over in Europe. Fairly little presence in the U.S. They had an investment since, I believe, 2012 from another private equity firm called IK Investments. And IK had a portfolio of clients as well. They did own them outright. And they have a similar model, but Epicerver stood out in their portfolio because they were the only technology firm in the portfolio. And so it never really made a whole ton of sense for those of us who are industry watchers that they had made that purchase back then. And so basically what this was a private equity firm acquiring from another private equity firm. And primarily, I think, because they saw the real opportunity in the U.S., that Epicerver was never really able to get a good foothold in the U.S. They've had operations here for 4 years or so. They don't have a very big partner base, and they weren't getting a whole ton of traction against some of the other incumbent competitors here like Ectron and like Sitecore and a few others. And so that investment was primarily, I think, that they wanted to accelerate their growth, and they saw that Sail KKR's position and abilities and partnerships within the U.S. would allow them to accelerate that expansion.
So you've mentioned how each of these vendors is positioned geographically, and they have very different positioning. Do you think that this is mainly about a geographic expansion, trying to get products in one region, a foothold in another region? Is that the main driver?
So I think, as I mentioned with EpiServer, that was definitely a part of the plan. A core part of the plan was having a really solid product that had a great foothold in Europe and wanting to be able to expand it further into the U.S. With Ektron, that has a bigger base in the U.S. and very little of a footprint in Europe, one could say yes that they would complement each other well in that way. But I actually think that the strategy with Ektron was a little bit different. I think it was less about geographic expansion for them, and it was more about how they could further the opportunity within Ektron's customer base. Ektron has about 4,000 customers in its history, about half of whom, about 2,000 of whom, are active customers today on support. The challenge with Ektron is that it has really innovated the product and therefore also the price tag. Over the course of the past 10 years or so. It's been around for about 15 years, but over the past 10 years, it's really made a huge changeover, where many of those 4,000 customers literally could have purchased the product on a credit card. It was about a $5,000 purchase at one point, and now, you know, it's in the six-figure range. And so the challenge for them has always been getting those customers, those many customers, to kind of come along with them. They weren't necessarily growing at the same pace, didn't necessarily need the same level of complexity that Ektron was adding into the product, nor could they necessarily afford the new product. And so I think what XLKKR sees as an opportunity is a strategy that Ektron already began pursuing with the first tranche of investment, which is the shift to a SaaS model. And the SaaS model makes a whole lot of sense for a number of reasons. One is that you get you have a lower barrier to entry for your customers, and so it's fairly much easier to get those same customer base that might have been the mid-market or SMB market to lay out less cash for the product and come aboard on a subscription model. Secondly, the big challenge that Ektron has always faced is they actually kind of nicely so, but not necessarily business savvy. So they have always supported every version of their product that's ever existed. And so they've had a hard time pulling those customers along. And so they're going to stop doing that now. Once you get folks onto SaaS, it's much easier to be managing. You're not running multiple versions and managing to that site. So I think that the strategy with Ektron is less about geography and more about shifting them to the cloud model, where you can get, frankly, the lifetime value of a SaaS customer versus an on-prem customers about 10 times. So if they can even convert some smaller portion of that, frankly, the deep pockets of a private equity firm are required when you're making a shift to a cloud model. Because if you think of the cash that's required to do that, all of the customer acquisition costs are up front when somebody comes on to a subscription model like that. The vendor is the one that's basically laying out the cash to get them to come on. And the customer is only paying month over month or year over year. And so, frankly, it takes a long time to realize some of that revenue that comes in. And so a small company like Ektron would have had to have the backing of a larger firm like an XLKKR to be able to do that. And I think both really understand that well. And that was the pursuit with Ektron.
You know, I have a tangential question. Sure. I hope it doesn't take us down a blind alley, but do you think that these high-powered private equity firms are as good at setting direction, a technology roadmap, strategic positioning as maybe other types of investors? Do you think that at XLKKR, will be able to pull this off?
You know, I think so. I think they specifically have a portfolio that's really just mired in tech. Again, I think the answer is obviously, and it depends. It depends on who they are. So in the case of an IK investment, of course, the answer is no. They just really don't do that well. XLKKR's strength is specifically in this area. And if you look in their portfolio, there are other firms like North Plains, the very popular digital asset management tool is there, and many others that they've exited by either launching them into IPOs or selling them into other larger technology firms. They've had a pretty good history of doing that. So I actually think, yeah, they're positioned well to be able to do that.
Oh, that's great to hear. So they have these two products, two geographies, two different strategies, two different potential roadmaps, and so forth. Do you think the two products should come together in some way. A lot of people are speculating that the two products will come together.
Yeah, and that's a natural tendency. That's a natural speculation. And, oh, by the way, it's not out of the realm of possibility given Accel KKR's history either. They have, in a number of cases, brought together two product companies from within their portfolio together. Usually it's not immediately, though, like this. And so, you know, what I would suspect is that at some point down the road, there certainly is possibility for that. I think in the near term, though, these strategies are very different. I think if my setup about Ektron was true, then frankly, it's even harder for an older Ektron customer that you're trying to convince to come over into the cloud. It's even harder to get them to make the leap to come over onto the EpiServer platform, which is wider, more expensive, has more bells and whistles. And frankly, if somebody's going to go, there's obviously not a clear migration path. And so if those customers were to consider that, if they were to be approached to do that, then I think why wouldn't they also go out to market and look at the likes of a Sitecore, et cetera? So they would open themselves up to that. If somehow Ektron were to be kind of the leading one and the EpiServer customers were asked to go over to Ektron, I think the challenge there would be, again, Ektron doesn't have a brand over in Europe. And so how do you keep those strong European countries where, by the way, a Sitecore's foothold was primarily also over in Europe. They're based in Denmark. And so I think there would be a lot of challenges to that. So, you know, on the surface, does it say, sure, should you bring these two together? Maybe so. I frankly think, though, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense when you look at what the challenges that each are faced with and kind of the reason for the investment in the first place. But like I say, I think it could certainly happen. I just think it'll be further than near.
Absolutely. So whenever these kinds of acquisitions occur, the installed base becomes nervous and concerned about what should we do. What would your advice be to existing customers, both Ektron customers and EpiServer customers?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of different types of these customers. I think the EpiServer customers, frankly, should be the least worried. Even if they did combine the two, it's highly unlikely to me that kind of EpiServer as the platform wouldn't be the one that they would hold the reins there. So I think for EpiServer customers, frankly, this is just good news for you. I think that Accel KKR helps by helping them to expand the partner channel. So maybe you'll have more options of services providers to be able to work with. I think it's good news for EpiServer all around. I think for Ektron, it's also pretty good news for those customers. For existing customers, I think you've got nothing to worry about. Quite frankly, you know, if there was concern about Ektron as a fairly small company that started in the founder's garage, I think it was feeling a little bit of founder's syndrome, where it had kind of grown to be as good as it could be at this point, given the management at the helm. But I think you're seeing a changeover now. I think you'll see a company that gets more professional. I think you'll see a company that's more strategic in its focus and laser focused in its growth model. I think if you're an old customer of Ektron's, it's not on support today, but are considering, you know, maybe the new model, you know, I think some caution isn't bad advice, to be honest. I do think that you probably, if you're off support, you should be looking to find a clear path to get back on support, but waiting to let the dust settle on this wouldn't necessarily be such a bad idea.
So I can't resist one more question. For the company shopping, and let's say they're looking at Ektron, they're looking at EpiServer, they're looking at other vendors. Should Ektron and or EpiServer be on short lists, or should those buyers hit the pause button and wait and see?
I have always said, and we believe here at Digital Clarity Group, that technology is an enabler, right? And really that the involvement of the service provider is where it's at. The technology is going to either succeed or fail in achieving a strategy, primarily more based on the service provider that you're working with and how they implement it, the strategy that you're using. And so that's really, if we view it in that light, that it's merely an enabler, I think if you've got a service provider that you found, an agency or an integrator who specializes in Ektron, and that's what they know best, and they either know your company already, or you really feel like they've got a good fit and they can help take you into the to the next level, then by all means, I wouldn't hesitate to put them on. If I don't really have any of those relationships and I'm just starting to look, certainly there's some disruption going on here in this space right now. And I wouldn't shy away from them. I would look at the products for their merits, but I would certainly want to understand directly from management what the plans are. I would want to get really comfortable with what that roadmap looks like. And I'd want to be really comfortable that I've got a partner who is there to support it in the long term, even through some of the chaos that might be in the near term.
And Scott, you've been a great guest. I knew you would be. And I think you have provided a lot of clarity on this confusing announcement or series of announcements. And you've provided a lot of sound advice on guidance for existing customers and prospective customers. So thank you for being our speaker today.
No, thanks for having me. This is great. I mean, this really is a topic. It's getting a lot of attention right now. You know, there's not a whole lot of activity in our space these days. When I say our space, I mean in the web content management space these days. There's not a whole lot of activity. And so when it happens, there's just a lot of information floating around there. Some of it's, some of it is reflective of facts, and some of it is quite a bit of speculation. So happy to clear up some of those things.
Excellent. Well, you have been listening to podcasts by Digital Clarity Group. My guest today is the president of Digital Clarity Group, Scott Leeware, and we thank him very much. I'd like to also thank our audience for joining, and we look forward to engaging with you in our future podcasts.